Hello and welcome to the programme which looks at the Holy Land. I am Paul Calvert. Psalm 119 verse 129 from the New King James Bible says this: "Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them."
I'm with Ilana Heidemann from Israel Forever Foundation, and the news broke of beepers exploding and yesterday radios exploding in Lebanon. How did Israelis react when they heard the news of this?
Israelis in general, and I believe Jews on pro-Israel, people all over the world, celebrated this monumental achievement of intelligence that allowed for direct targeting of terror networks in Lebanon. This was not at all an attack on any civilians, and Israelis really celebrated as an example of the genius behind the many systems of defense that Israel has had to put into place over the years when we fight terror.
It's quite something, really, isn't it? You know, when you think about how did Israel actually manage to do this, of course, Israel hasn't actually said they've done this. Obviously, we do believe Israel is behind this, but how did they actually manage to do this?
Well, the strategy behind it had to come from some, you know, spark of an idea, let's say, of how do we infiltrate? And then how do we use the network of diplomatic relations that we have established over the last however many years and activate it in a smart and strategic way? So how they did it required the involvement of friends and compatriots and people who also believe in usurping the power of terrorism from within. So we required a lot of friends of Israel around the world. Now, let's understand that many of them want to stay silent. They do not want their name associated with it. And you're right, Israel hasn't even publicly taken credit for it. But isn't it funny also that people are like just astounded that Israel is capable of this? They're already out there spreading the word because they know that there's no country in the world that could accomplish something like this other than Israel.
Now, pagers are actually old technology. Why does Hezbollah actually use this old technology?
For the same security reasons that they fear intelligence coming from Israel, and they know that Israel has these high-level capabilities, they decided to use alternative methods so that phone calls could not be recorded and things like that. As you know, we have many recorded phone calls from the Hamas terror network, as well as other terror groups that exist also in Judea and Samaria. And the cell phones have been a system where we've been able to track the terror activity. By migrating to an older system of pagers and walkie-talkies, the belief was that they would be able to evade some of those infrastructures that Israel has put into place over the years. Unfortunately, what they didn't realize is that Israel's technological capabilities are so high and our intelligence capabilities of such a nature that we're able to be creative in how we can also apply modern day tactics to olden day technology, which is what a beeper is. Because they use a certain kind of battery, they were able to create a sort of a cyber attack that would infiltrate the internal system of these old mechanisms, of these beepers and walkie-talkies and radios, and basically heat up, from what we understand, heat up the batteries from within that allowed it to explode. And let's also take a minute and remember that it is exploding only in the hands of people who are a part of the Hezbollah terror network. These are not just random explosions. It is only those units that were in possession and owned by the terror networks. And all of that paperwork is another part of Israel's genius and how they track that intelligence and allow us to find the terrorists where they are. And yes, we understand there are a couple of civilian casualties, but basically they are vicariously with the person who is a Hezbollah terrorist. So, you know, that networking is another element of the society that we can discuss, but the use of the pager reminds us that sometimes take a step back, go old school. And I think that Israel, in many ways, went old school style with saying we are not going to only attack from above, the targeted assassinations by Israel Air Force are very effective in taking out terror cells. But here they went in from the inside and they managed to take out, at this point, we believe, over 8,000 terrorists, identifying them and injuring them and sending an important message that terror will not be tolerated. Israel is fighting the world's war, taking out these evil individuals.
It's quite a big gamble, really, wasn't it? Because it looks like they've had to set up a business, sell these pages to Hezbollah, and they could have found these explosives possibly at any moment, and then the whole operation would have been over.
There were constantly risks that were probably presenting themselves throughout the entire process. It was not an overnight thing. We understand now that these pagers were actually purchased over 5-6 months ago and distributed. So really, Israel's genius is also in biding their time, waiting for the right moment, because Hezbollah has been firing missiles on Israel since October 8th. We are seeing thousands and thousands of missiles. Our entire northern region, our families and communities have had to be evacuated. They are still living displaced in very difficult situations, very bad conditions, but again, which get no recognition as humanitarian issues. Regardless, the entirety of the north is on fire. They have destroyed thousands of acres of natural landscape, animals. And so this did not come out of anywhere. This has been building. And some people have said that the beeper explosions are triggering a higher level of war. Excuse me, but it's been 11 months of this ongoing attack. And Israel has bided our time, continuously only attacking these terror infrastructures. And they've gone and done the same thing. I want to mention one other thing, by the way, which is that I don't know if it would have required setting up the business in order to initiate, but rather, as I said earlier, tapping into the network of friends, supporters, and people who really truly believe in Israel's just war against the evil that is existing. So I think that that's another important part for all of us to consider. Where are these friends? Who are they? Can they be trusted? Those are some of the more time-consuming elements I expect that Israel had to be very cautious with. Who and how could they, who could they trust, and how could they make this happen so that it went off at the right time and in the right way with as few civilian casualties as possible? And that's exactly what we've seen.
Was the pager invented by a Jew?
It was, actually. But then again, most of the intel and the chips and all of the mechanisms that are required for these types of technology, most of them have come out of Jewish genius that has been employed to try and improve the world. So yeah, the pager, the intel chip, all of these things were invented by Jews and or Israelis.
It's an amazing thing what happened. It's like something from James Bond, is it? Do you think there will be movies made of this in the future?
There could be. There should be if the world were to let Israel win the war and to have a positive image. I mean, that's one of the problems that we've faced since the onset of Hamas's attack against Israel, is that there is almost never good news. Nobody's reporting about the wonderful things that Israel has done in order to help Gazan civilians, in order to minimize, you know, any increased trauma and civilian casualties. No one wants to talk positively about it. But at the end of this war, when, as you and I believe, we want to see Israel win, we believe Israel will win this war. Yes, certainly it is the content of a Mission Impossible. You know, we definitely would love to see it in a movie and to have more than that. Other military and intelligence and defense systems use this type of genius. Be smart and be strategic in how we can undercut the power of the terror networks that continue to grow and grow and dominate throughout the world. The way that they're being funded, I'm sure that you may have heard of some of the attacks that have happened in the banking system, which is also arousing interest. And again, there is no credit being taken by Israel or any Israeli entity, but we have to hope that many of these efforts are all directed towards one goal, and that is to take out terror from the societies and the world in which we live. That is how Israel will continue to save humanity.
Lebanon are using technology by firing drones across into Israel. Is technology a new way of war?
Absolutely. I'm not sure it's new as if it has not existed, but it's new in the shape in which it takes. Because if we think back even to the use of technology by the Nazi party, by the Nazi Germany, it was essential to their success. So what we see is technology taking shape, many cases for increased convenience of the world we live in, right? People want this technology in order to make things happen more easily. What we're also finding, though, is that it makes terror more easily accomplished as well. The technology required, for example, for the distribution of threatening messages to Israelis, and we haven't yet seen it happening to a worldwide network of Jews or even Christians, who are, of course, increasingly under attack by the extremist Muslims. But what we know is that they are also using technology against us with the messages that are being sent to families to run, even as recently as this morning, thousands and thousands of phones received messages to go to their safe room and infiltration had happened in their community. And that you were supposed to click a link. Anyone who clicked that link, basically, their phone was then infiltrated. And a lot of people feel this fear, this, you know, psychological terror that's triggered by these technological capabilities. And that is scary. It is. There's no way around it. We all have all of our personal information out there, whether it's in the social media networks or anywhere, the apps that we use. So we're kind of up against a catch-22. We want to use the technology, but we also want to prevent that technology from being used for evil purposes. And isn't that indeed the subject of so many Hollywood movies? Isn't it a shame that the Hollywoodites who find themselves somehow capable, because they played in some movie, capable of discussing the intricacies of a defensive war against terror, you know, we need to be aware of the things that are taking place in the world that even we don't feel in our own lives. And that technological use to create terror and to take out lives is something that everybody needs to be noted and perhaps even more educated on. Looking out in the world, how else is this infiltrating our lives? And I can give you one example, which is that there have been messages that have been sent out through SMS, through text messages to phones, that are encouraging the isolation of Jews, Jewish businesses, Jewish professors in their communities or on their university campuses and in their regular elementary schools even. So technology is starting to become a way to reach the common person. Who really just wants that technology for their own good. But those drones, I'll just end on that note, which is that those drones that are coming across, you know, we have a drone that came in and took a life from Tel Aviv. We have others who have been injured or killed because of the impact of this endless attack of the drones. And we also know that the Houthis, for example, are now using a system of a multiple drone attack. All of this, thanks to the advancements of technology, which, again, have their benefits, but also have severe risks.
With exploding beepers and exploding radios, will this put fear in Hamas and Palestinian leaders and Israel's enemies?
No, I don't think so.
No?
Unfortunately. No, because there's so much of the world that is brainwashed to believe the lies that they have spread and have demonized Jews in Israel so effectively that they aren't going to necessarily fall for a fear tactic. They don't care. Their goal is martyrdom of all of the so-called Palestinian people. That is their goal. They don't care if more and more people are killed. That simply gives them more fuel to say, look at who is the problem. Israel is the problem. So what they're actually doing is they are facilitating their own self-genocide in a way by accusing Israel of genocide and by trying to bring about a genocide of the Jews themselves. It's a very complicated web. And I don't think that a lot of people take the time or want to invest the energy in understanding it all. What they want is that exciting news. They want something that gets them, you know, interested and excited. And then, of course, they go on with their lives. Let's use the beeper explosion as a way to wake up a little and say, this is exciting. And it also reminds us just how moral Israel can be in their fight for evil. There's got to be something wrong with the way that Hamas and all of the pro-Palestinian, pro-jihadists, pro-terror camps are claiming to be good in this scenario. They're not. We have to help more people see it. Maybe the exploding beeper rage will not create fear for Hamas, but it will create an interest in the general global population against Hamas. Mm. The only way that we are going to stop this trend is if more and more people in their communities are doing everything they can to undercut the voice of these terrorist-driven lies, of these murder-seeking lies and agendas. And Hamas is just one arm. We want to remember that there are many different organizations. Some of them, of course, are now united under the banner of Hamas because Hamas became famous after October 7th. They are now considered to be more legitimate than they were because, of course, you know, rape and beheadings and murders are now legitimized versions of resistance, as long as you use that word, even if there is no such thing as this as resistance. There's no resistance here. This is outright attempt of genocide. And so we want people to wake up to it.
Once Hezbollah has actually got over the initial shock, are Israelis fearing reprisals?
Yes, I think that we've been living like that for many months, though, here in Israel. Every day there's another, you know, be aware. They've told us they're going to retaliate. They're going to retaliate. They've been saying it for a really long time. Israeli nature is to say, okay, you are not going to strike that chord in our heart. There's even a very many different sayings in Judaism that the essence is simply to not be afraid. It should never allow fear to strike in your heart. And you know, in the Torah, it actually says more times, one of the most repeated statements is that thou shalt not fear. And there are other references to that. The hate, it will always exist. The enemy will always exist. So our job is to not be afraid. And I think that's part of Israel's and Israelis' success in living beyond the terror. Yes, the fear is real, though. And I don't think people understand that Israel and Israelis are all living under this reality of war. It has a lot of different methods of impact. It's impacting our children. It's impacting the way that we even live our lives and look to the future. We have the upcoming 1 year anniversary, so to speak, of this horrible massacre, and emotions are high in general. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that the fear of retaliation is the dominant issue for Israelis today.
Mm-hmm. The Bible says, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers or sleeps. Today we read in the news that Iran plan to assassinate Netanyahu, Gallant, and the Shin Bet chief.
Yes. And of course, we have to emphasize by whom. The Iran network was so effective that they managed to recruit, and it's not the first time that we have discovered this, but they managed to recruit a Jewish Israeli to be a part of the scheme. We've seen such tactics be employed before, and unfortunately, all Jews do not all agree. There's an old saying, you know, two Jews, three opinions, because we're always looking at all the different possibilities. It hurts to know that one of our own could go so far as to be persuaded to take part in these assassination attempts. However, we've also seen this type of extremism in other societies and in other populations. So we don't want to only say, well, then if this guy was willing to take part in this, then maybe there's some justice to the idea of an assassination. And that's already an opinion that I had heard circulating amongst the anti-Israel voices this morning. But the assassination attempt, by the way, is following previous news that was only lifted out of a gag order yesterday, which is that already 10 months ago, many months ago, there was an attempted assassination on the former minister of defense, Bogi Yaalon. So news is coming out of previous attempts simultaneous to this news about an immediate reality. And we want to be vigilant. We want to understand that even amongst our own, yes, there will be people who are swayed and persuaded, whether by money, power, or any other reason, to take part in these type of evil schemes. We see it also around the world. And we have to open our eyes, not be naive, and do what we can to take note and make change in the societies so that these types of people are not accepted and they're held accountable for their crime.
Nearly a year of war. What is your prayer for Israel today?
I continue to pray that we not only stay strong, but that we actually create for ourselves a new definition of what strength can mean in our fight for the future. Israel's existence is not only a threat to our citizens, but the destruction of Israel's existence is a threat to all Western values, to all Western people. We are the gateway, and we need to have more unity. I know it sounds kind of lofty or cliche, and we've said it for a long time, but a year after the massacre, we have to remember the unity we felt the next day and the following months after the horrific events of October 7th. We have to not stop talking about our hostages, and we have to make sure that every day we're doing one thing, 10 things, to demand that the world demands the release of the hostages. You'll notice, by the way, that in these months, never has it been demanded by that Hamas surrender. Never has the Red Cross visited our hostages. We know that the medicines that they negotiated or in exchange for other goods never received were received by the hostages. We now have new information about the conditions under which the hostages were being held. We know that there are hostages who are being kept. They were witnessed being kept in cages. We have 70 and 80-year-old hostages who, after a year of starvation and deprivation and abuse and psychological tortures, are on the edge. They are out of time. And we have to also take note of our soldiers who continue to fall. And just yesterday, we actually have the first fallen female soldier of our defense forces who voluntarily went back with her unit. And unfortunately, it has been announced also yesterday that there have been tens of thousands of buildings discovered to have been rigged with bombs. Many of these buildings in the end were buildings surrounding areas, yes, where hostages had been held. So we have to never forget that these soldiers of Israel, whether you are Jewish or non-Jewish, because our soldiers are also not Jewish, and they come from all over the world, and we have to remember to pray for them and to pray that the hostages are able to find sources of strength. And we have to continue to pray. So my prayer is actually that in this very powerful Jewish month of Elul, which is the month where it is said it's the month of forgiveness. It's a month of when we look into reflect upon ourselves and we prepare ourselves for the coming Jewish New Year of Rosh Hashanah and then the Day of Repentance, Yom HaKippur, in the next month of Tishrei. In the month of Elul, it is said that the king is in the field. God is right here. And so I pray that more people will find prayer and find strength, new sources of strength. The war is not ending. Everyone wants this to be a short war. Israel is used to short wars. This is a long war, and we all have to find ways to stay strong, always find new ways, new ideas, new technology, new systems, new partners, new friends, new voices, and new prayers to help us connect with the historic time that we are living in. We are watching humanity at a crossroads, and we should all be a part of it. So I hope that my prayer is that more people will find themselves as a part of this story.
What's your website for people who'd like to know more about the work that you do?
Please come and visit israelforever.org. Follow us on Instagram and on Facebook, and we are on every platform, and we have a global community of virtual citizens of Israel who are dedicated to staying informed, inspired, engaged, and motivated to do more privately or publicly in your communities. We love to work with those who otherwise feel disconnected, unaffiliated. Maybe they feel isolated, or they're just looking to feel proud and inspired, and what we call Zion proud and Israel strong. So Israel Forever, this is your home where you can come and find endless resources and reach out to us if you are looking for ideas and ways that you can empower and do more for the rights of Jews, Israel, and all of humanity. Amen. Thank you so much.
Well, Ilana, thank you very much for sharing today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's always a pleasure to dissect the crucial issues with you. And I hope that everybody is able to learn something new. And hey, you know, you don't have to worry if you've got a pager or a walkie-talkie if you're not a member of a terror organization. So that's what we want to try and remind others in the world, that these tactics are a part of Israel's genius. And every listener out there can be proud of Israel, should be proud of Israel. And we can be defending this genius and historical move when we'll all sit together and watch the movie someday.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Pray that God will move by his mighty power in the Holy Land and bring his peace.